This morning, we're looking at Jonah and Us, Part 2. If you remember last Sunday, we looked at Jonah. I'm sorry, I forget. I'm bad at this. It is time now to dismiss our children to children's church. So if you'd like to go back, I know they have a lot of stuff back there, puppets and a lesson and a lot of things for you, and we invite you to go back and take part of that. I think you'll really enjoy it if you do. Okay, so Jonah and Us, Part 2. Last week we looked at Jonah, the prophet Jonah, and we looked at kind of a beginning of what was going on with Jonah. Jonah was one of those individuals who was called, and we spent some time talking about what a fantastic gift it is to be called. Not just to be called by the government or some magistrate or a ruler, not just to be called by a military general or something of that sort, but literally to be called by the God of the universe to do something specific, a job for you. That is such an important thing and such a blessed thing. Nothing in the world is as satisfying as when God calls you to do something and you are obedient and you do that. And we talked about last week, every one of us, all of us, have a calling. And we all need to respond to that calling. God wants you to do something in this world. I have read through the Bible from cover to cover multiple times. I have been studying the Bible now for roughly 50 years. I am yet to find anywhere in the Bible where God called anybody and just said, listen, chill out for a few years and it's all going to be okay. It doesn't work that way. He never does say, just sit down, relax, and do nothing, and I'll take care of everything. We are called. I'm called, and you are called, and you have a specific call from God, and it is important for you to answer that call. Well, this morning we're going to look at the second part of that, and that is redemption. Jonah chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly, and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou hearest my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep, into the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet will I look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depths closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped around my head. I went down to the bottom of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought me up, my life, from corruption. O Lord my God, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with a voice of thanksgiving. I will pray that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited Jonah upon the dry land. May God add to the reading of his scripture. The most important, the focus, the point of all theology is redemption. If God could have, when Adam and Eve sinned, he could have said, yeah, well, done with that, cast them dead and started over. When the earth became so wicked and so violent in Noah's day that human beings got to a point where every imagination of a man's heart was only evil continually, God could have said, wiping out all living things from the earth and am done with it. But he did not. When the children of Israel were in Egypt, when they were enslaved, And they cried out to him. God redeemed them, and he brought them out and cleaned them off and made them a nation. What I'm saying is, and for you and I, the point of salvation is that we are redeemed, that we get another chance, that life starts over, that we are able to find God and that he is able to make something out of us even during the worst of our lives and the worst of our decision. What an amazing gift it is that God redeems us. Like Jonah, Jonah, of course, fled from God, and we read in the first chapter that he said, I'm going to flee from God, and I'm going to go to Tarshish, and got on a boat and headed out, and I suppose he thought that God didn't exist there, and he discovered God is there even. God is at the very bottom of the ocean even. And like Jonah, you and I have tried to flee from God. It has happened to every single one of us. I think sometimes we don't intentionally want to move away from God, but circumstances and things in our life cause us to seem to move out away from God. It's like a riptide. Are you familiar with that concept, what a riptide is? Several years ago, many years ago now, my brother-in-law Bill and some of his family were in Hawaii, and they were out swimming, I think, on the beach, in Waikiki maybe, and their son got kind of caught up in a riptide, and he started going out to sea. Bill swam out to get him, and both of them were getting farther and farther and farther away from shore. And had it not been for a kind man on the beach who had a surfboard and paddled out to them, they probably would have drowned. Riptides are very dangerous, deadly things. And if you get in one, I am told, I've never been in a riptide, and I hope I don't ever get in one. But if you ever get caught in that, all of a sudden you just start being carried further and further and further away from shore. And you can swim as hard as you can possibly swim. You can struggle with all of your might, and it will do you little or no good. You will continue moving out to sea. You may not even be able to see the riptide. It's not like a visible thing. Everything looks normal, but under the surface, there is a current that is taking you out to sea. And if you can't get away from it, if you can't escape from it, you will drown. Jonah described his situation. He said, out of the belly of hell I cried. Proverbs says, there is a way that seems right unto men, but the end is destruction. And I think sometimes when we get caught spiritually or in life, when we get caught kind of in that riptide of life and it starts moving us in a direction that we don't want to go, we can do what we think is right. We can try to fix it, but it continues to go in the wrong direction. Things continue to get worse. I often think of the disciples when they were out on the Sea of Galilee and the boat and the storm came up. I can imagine them, much like a church, they were sailors. They knew kind of what to do. And I'm sure they turned the boat into the wind and they took down the sails and they closed up all the openings. They did all of the right stuff. And still the boat continued to sink. And such is the case with our lives. We get started going in a wrong direction, or things start happening in our lives that pull us away, and we can fight just as hard as we can possibly fight, and things continue to go in the wrong direction, and we can't make it better. We can't fix it. The point of theology is redemption. God sent His Son to redeem you. There is nothing more important that I can say this morning as a pastor than Jesus Christ wants to redeem you. Jesus wants to save your soul and to save you, who you are. So let's look at that. How does that work? When you're caught in a riptide, experts say instead of swimming against the current and trying to swim back to shore, turn and swim parallel to the shore. Go in a different direction and you'll get out of the rip current eventually, and hopefully then you can make it to shore. Well, similarly, in our lives, when we are being taken in a direction we don't want to go, sometimes we have to stop and do something very different. We have to seek God's direction for our life. Not try to fix it. We have to seek God's direction. When I was a young man, not a man, when I was a boy, I wasn't a man. In the early 70s, I got to be very rebellious. I was very angry. My father had passed away and the world seemed to cave in on me, and I got involved in a lot of things that I shouldn't have been involved in. I kind of came to the realization in about 1976, looking around at some of the other boys that I ran around with. I knew I was either going to end up in jail or dead. That was kind of where I was headed. And I didn't want either of those. I was very sick with what I was doing. And I could try to change. I could say, okay, I'm going to turn over a new leaf. I'm going to be this or I'm going to be that. And it didn't work. I couldn't fight the riptide that was pulling my life away, that was taking me in a direction I didn't want to go. And I can tell you, honestly, a lot of the guys that I ran around with back in the early 70s ended up in jail, and some of them did. My best friend in high school, or one of them, ended up on cocaine and finally died at about age 50 because he just destroyed his health and his life, did a couple of years in the penitentiary. I could see that was the direction, that if something didn't happen, that's where I would go. In 1976, I went to revival at a small white country church, not terribly unlike this one. When the pastor gave the altar call, I could not wait to go to the altar. Literally, I was sick of the person that I was becoming. I didn't want the current to carry me away anymore. I went to that altar and I laid myself on the altar and I said, God, I can't do it anymore. You tell me what to do. You show me whatever you want me to do, I'll do. I have joked about this. Miss Patsy doesn't find it as funny, I think, as I do. But when I was a kid, I used to go to Odessa, Texas to visit. And I was from the mountains of Arkansas. And I thought Odessa was the most desolate, terrible place in the world. When I surrendered my life to God, I said, all right, if you want me to go to Odessa or anywhere else on earth, I'll do whatever you want me to do. Within a few months, I was called to preach, and I started out not knowing, not having any idea how to do that, and I got a lot of coaching from some very, very good people, and I began going to school, and something I had never thought I would do. And I started to college, and I worked my way through that for decades, but we got that done, right? In 1979, God sent me to a little church in Clarksville, Arkansas. And I met the pianist, lovely young lady I ended up married to for 43 years now. What I'm saying is, my life turned 180. And it wasn't because I was strong and I was determined and I knew what I was doing. It was because I got on my knees and I got to a point where I said, Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do. And when I gave control of my life over to Jesus, He made it so much better. When I look at my wife and my family today, I am so thankful all of these years later, nearly 50 now, that I gave my life to Jesus. Well, sitting up here a little while ago, when I was doing the praise and prayer request, I looked back in the foyer and I saw my grandson Jackson come crawling out in the middle of the foyer. They've shut the doors now, so I can't see. But I thought to myself, these are the good old days. Thank God. My life is good. Now, I'm not wealthy, I'm not smart, I'm not any of those things, but I have a good life. I have a life that I would not have had had I not given it to God totally and completely. And when I did, He redeemed me. Don't fight the current by yourself. Instead, honestly and earnestly, ask God what He wants you to do. It isn't always as simple, I guess, as that. The current that you struggle against may eventually take your life. It may not come out roses like you imagine it to be, but God can still redeem you. I had a very good friend that I worked for and with for a number of years. He retired. His dream was to retire early and to buy this dually truck and a big camper and horse trailer, and him and his wife are going to travel all over the United States and just thoroughly enjoy it. And so finally he did. He retired at 55 with a good retirement. Bought his truck and stuff. They spent less than a year, and he got cancer. And it was a severe and terminal cancer. I would visit him periodically and set out on his back porch. His name was Sam James. I sat out on the back porch with Sam one day, and he said, "You know, when I was first diagnosed with cancer, I was bitter. I kept saying, 'Why me? I've been a good man. I've gone to church. I've lived, tried to live a good life, raised my family right. And I wanted so badly to just get to a point where I could go out and travel and enjoy life. I spent so many years working in a job I didn't really care for just to get to this point. And now I can't do it.'" And he said, "I said to God often, 'Why me?'" And he said, "I prayed about that a lot. And finally, one evening, it kind of came to me, 'Why not me?'" Said, "I would rather, if somebody has to get cancer, has to go through this terminal illness, I would so much rather it be me than some young person out there starting their life who really needs to raise their family. Mine's grown. If it's got to be, let it be me and not someone else that's going to have to deal with it, that may not be able to deal with it as well as I can." And he said, "Once I got my mind right, the world became a much more pleasant place. He could see people and he could visit and he could go to parades." And he said, "You know, my world will never be what I had envisioned it to be for so long. But thank God it is my life. And thank God I am redeemed. He's going to take care of me." See, that's redemption. It's not about having a thing or having a lifestyle or having this or that. It's about getting our attitude right with God. When we get to a point that we have prayed up, as I used to call it, that's what we used to say, when you've prayed until you're right with God, you're prayed up. When you get to that point, life will become so much better. You will be successful. Maybe you won't make a lot of money. Maybe you won't do a lot of the things you think you ought to do. But I promise you, if you get right in God's will, you'll be happy and you'll be successful. 2010, I had gone through a difficult time business-wise. Had some partners I would like to have strangled, but we were kind of floundering, Becky and I both, and we talked about it often. It didn't seem like anything would click. We couldn't get anything going in the right direction. And we prayed really hard, "Lord, what do you want us to do?" God led us to start a church. And that wasn't something we had envisioned doing. But once we did that, once we got over that hurdle and we again said, Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do. And I'm going to tell you, when we were looking at that, I was afraid. I could imagine failure. I could see this thing not working at all. I didn't have a big denomination behind me to put money in it. I didn't have a district superintendent or whatever you want to call it at whatever denomination you're from to keep me going in the right direction and to take care of things to fix all the problems. And I thought, you know, there is a very large chance that this is not going to work. We're going to be failures. We're going to invest a bunch of money and we're going to lose it. And we're going to be unhappy, and that probably our marriage is going to get in trouble, our family is going to get in trouble. There's a lot of problems, and I could see failure. And I prayed about that a lot. And I reached a point where I finally said, you know, I'm not afraid to fail. I've done that before. I have failed many times. I even had a frozen chicken restaurant business one time. You don't talk about disasters. I failed before. I understand that. I'm afraid to stand before God and say, I wouldn't try. Right? I can stand before God and say, Lord, we tried to build a church and we failed miserably. Forgive us. But I don't want to stand before Him and say, I just wouldn't try. I knew that's what I was supposed to do, but I was afraid to try. As a result, we have this church. We have this people. We love each other. And this church, not me, because it's really not me, this church has done so much good in the lives of so many people. I've seen it. I have witnessed people who have come here and have found something that they were desperately needing, have found a place to get on their knees and get right with God. That's a fantastic thing. And it happens, it starts, it happens when you and I get on our knees and we say, Lord, what do you want me to do? I'll do it. If it works, great. If it doesn't work, then I'll stand before you and say, Lord, I tried. If you'll do that, God will redeem you. God will take care of your needs. May not be what you want, but it's what you need. It's what we all need. God loves you. Honestly and sincerely, He loves you. He loved Jonah. There was Jonah in a big fish at the bottom of the sea. He says weeds were wrapped around his head. He was in hell. And he cried out to God, and God heard him. I don't know what's going on in your life. I know every one of us has things that we deal with. I know we all get into these kind of riptides that pull us away from where we need to be. And it hurts, and it's scary. But I know this, if you'll cry out to God just like Jonah did, He'll hear you. God Himself will hear you.